As a missionary, you're always looking for the Lord to give you faithful men. And what can I say? And I thank the Lord that the Lord has given us a few faithful men, at least faithful to come to church. I thank you especially for those teenagers who have answered the call. And I thank the Lord they're up in Southington, Connecticut. We're going to see them next week because their missions conference is next week. Is this water here for me? The empty one or the full one? Because there's one almost empty. Okay. That's contaminated. In case you haven't noticed it, I'm a gum chewer. I have to chew gum when I'm preaching because of all the different medications I take, my throat gets dried out really fast. So I not only take gum and I also chew on cough drops and everything else, so I'm a mess. But I thank the Lord. I mean, what can I say? We've been on the mission field for 36 years. And I thank the Lord for this July, we would have been with BIMI for 40 years. And so I thank the Lord for those teenagers who are there in college now. I pray that the Lord will speak to their hearts and use them. Ramir, Rosalind's brother, was the most rebellious one. We've even had him in our house. And I set him down and I said, you know, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I said, I don't see that in your life. Are you saved? And he started crying that I would think that he wasn't saved. Well, what else am I supposed to think, the way he was living his life? But now he wants to be a youth pastor. What God can do. And believe it or not, AJ, he wants to be a math teacher. I didn't see that coming. A math teacher in high school. And of course, Rosalind, she is graduating, but she will be back to Southington, Connecticut, Central Baptist Church, teaching this next fall semester. And she'll be teaching kindergarten. So they really want her to come back, and I thank the Lord for that. So please pray that not only will she get her regular degree, which is probably a Bachelor of Science, but she'll also get her MRS degree. MRS. Oh, well. See me afterwards, and I'll tell you what that means. Let's read the scripture. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Well, as you see, the message tonight is teaching others also. If you remember over in the Matthew, and I think he's got my scripture verses up there too. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 had said, and Jesus came spaking unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, go ye therefore and disciple. Disciple other than from other nations. That's what that teaching means, discipleship. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Thank the Lord for that promise. I don't have to go back to Tinian alone. Amen? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. First teaching has to do with discipleship. The second teaching means to know. Let me see my notes here. To know and teach. instruct by word of mouth. So the first one has to do with discipleship. The second one just has to do with teaching. Teaching your disciple. Just like Paul taught his disciple, Timothy. And his disciple's son, Timothy, was a great man of God. And I thank the Lord for him. So as you can see, the number one of my outline is there's a principle that must be followed. As you know, the Apostle Paul, he talked about soldiers, he talked about sports, he talked about different things, trying to get people to understand what he's talking about. And now here he's talking about a soldier. And any soldier, I mean, if you know any soldier, he's on the battlefield. He doesn't need to be entangled with the affairs of this world, of the affairs of this life. And he has his wife call him and say, could you do me a favor? And I'm having a hard time with the checkbook. Could you balance the checkbook for me? And he's in a foxhole in Afghanistan. There's no way he's going to take the time to balance a checkbook. He cannot get involved in the affairs of back home. He's got to stay focused on what he's doing. And the Apostle Paul is telling us the same thing, that we need to stay in focus. That's why verse 3 says, endure hardness. Endure hardness. As a good soldier, you need to endure hardness. And we all know in the military, you'll find hardness there. And you'll find a hard time and everything else. Especially if you have a bad sergeant. I don't know. But anyways. Then the Bible teaches, we need to be faithful. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Whew. Commit thou to faithful men. Why would you commit thou to faithful men? Because of what the scripture says. Who shall be able to teach others also? It's a cycle. A Christian reaches out to another Christian, a lost person, and sees them get saved. And you see them get saved, and you disciple him. And as you disciple him, then the two of you go soul winning together and try to reach his friends or whatever, on visitation, try to reach somebody else. It's one reaching one, and two reaching one, and three reaching one, and four. You know what I'm saying? It just keeps going. And I don't know when it all stopped, but it seems like bus ministry has kind of failed through our churches for, I don't know when. That's one thing I like about being out there on Tinian. I don't know nothing of what happens back here. I don't know who comes or who goes. I hear of churches closing their doors, and I don't know why. I hear of pastors leaving, and I don't know why. I don't know. Even our college. I went to Beth Haven Bible College. Dr. Tom Wallace was our pastor. There is no more Beth Haven Baptist Church. There is no Beth Haven Bible College. It's gone. And I don't know about some of you who graduate from Tennessee Temple College or Tennessee Temple University. It's gone too. So why? If we're supposed to reach out to teach others also, and then the two of you go out and reach others also, and commit thou to faithful men who can teach others also, and you commit more to faithful men, where did it all break down? I don't know. It has to be within the local church. It has to be within the local church of I know it's not on the paper back there, forgive me. And I know I'm going to get shot for it. But turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Because I have the same problem you have. In Hebrews chapter 5, the problem I have that you have is of whom, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing, it means sluggish, dull, one who apprehends with difficulty. Now, what can I say? I'm not putting any of our people down, but we have all Filipino contract workers in our church. And that's what they are. They're contract workers. Now, the reason I don't have a slide presentation for you is last time with Home on Furlough was 2015. The people we had then are mostly all gone to the ones we have now. Our ministry is likened unto a military ministry. They're coming and going constantly. If I can make 50 cents more on Saipan, I'm going to move my family over to Saipan and make 50 cents more and get a better house. You know, for me, it drives me crazy. Because you get somebody and you're training somebody and you're discipling somebody and you're hoping they can disciple others also. And all of a sudden they're gone because they can make more money on Saipan. Or they just go back to Saipan or go back to Tinian or go back to the Philippines. And then move on to Canada and then move on to wherever so they can make more money. So our ministry is just like a military ministry. People constantly coming and going. All the people we have now, I asked my wife, Patricia's still the same, Reggie's still the same, and I'll show you the pictures back there. And Josie and Romer are still the same. We have four that are still the same from 2015. The rest are all new. What can I say? So it's hard to disciple people when you have people who just want to keep coming and going. And then it goes on in verse 12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers. You've been in the church for how long? You know, you've been in the church for how long? And you should be teachers. You have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become are such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Who are the Christians who need milk? Class, the sincere milk of the word are new, born again believers in Christ. They need that sincere milk of the word of God, not people who've been in church for 12 years. So I don't know. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Pay attention to that one. Underline it in red in your Bible. Why? Because if you're a weightlifter, you pick up weights and you build your arms, or you build your chest doing benches. And you're constantly using the weights. You're constantly using the weights. You're constantly using the weights. And people say, man, you're growing. You look good. Got nice, big, strong arms. Nice, big chest. I mean, your legs are nice and strong. Wow, you look good. Who by reason of use? But when you stop using them, what happens? It all goes back to flesh. And there is no more muscle. So who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil? Now, the senses there means faculty of the mind for perceiving, understanding, and judging. That's what it means. So you want somebody within, like Paul had Timothy. Thank the Lord, Paul had Timothy. But you know, just like I know, Paul also had his, who like Demas, who hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So what do you do with them? And I thank the Lord that God, in the end, will judge all. I don't have to judge. I just have to keep preaching. And I thank you, the Lord, for 36 years. That's what I've been doing, is just preaching and staying faithful. So what can I say? Let the Lord take care of the rest of it. We all know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where Paul preached about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we all know the story of why he came to this world, to pay our sin debt. to die upon the cross to pay our sin debt, to shed his own blood to pay our sin debt, the remission of sin, the forgiveness of sin through his own blood. So we know why he came. And then the next scripture verse you're going to see up there is Acts 1:3, who also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Now there's two words I want you to see that mean something there. Number one, his passion. His passion, the word just plainly means, in a bad sense, to suffer, to undergo evils, to be afflicted. That's what our Lord went through for you and me. Then the Bible talks about by many infallible proofs. Infallible means that from which something is surely and plainly known. And what can I say? We surely and plainly know after his resurrection, many people saw him. 500 brethren at once, preached for 40 days. So yeah, he had many, many people to prove. In court, how many do you need to prove whether somebody's innocent or guilty? Three. Isn't that true still today? Three. You need only three. He had above 500 brethren at once. So he had many, many people proving that Jesus Christ was alive. And I'm sure that even some of those who slew him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, probably saw him and said, was that him? No, that can't be him. Yeah, it was him. Uh-oh. He did resurrect. He said he's going to resurrect. His disciples didn't steal him because we had the whole guards out there in front of the tomb, which I'd like to have been there to see those guards. They became as dead men. I like to see that. Anyways, but can you imagine that? A lot of people saw him. Even those who are not even mentioned in the scripture saw him after he was resurrected from the grave. So, what can I say? We need men and we need ladies to preach, to proclaim, to pray, to send others also into the mission field. You're getting ready to have your big missions conference. And I'm sure, is it Faith Promise? I don't know. But you're getting ready to have your big missions conference. And you'll be sending others out also. Why? Because God told me to stay here as a good, faithful member. And as I stay here as a good, faithful member, I will at least support others to go also and teach others also. In Brazil, where I can't go. In Africa, where I can't go. On Tinian, that I can't go. And I'm surprised how many people here know about Tinian. Many, many, many churches I go to. Where's that? What's the significance of Tinian? Well, have you ever heard of the Enola Gay or the boxcar? We assembled the atom bomb on Tinian, that teeny tiny small island. And that teeny tiny small island, this would be something for you to know. It became the largest air base in the world during World War II. Six B-29s could take off at the same time to make their bombing raids in Japan. I mean, that's something to know about Tinian. And I'm like you. I didn't know anything about Saipan until her mom and dad said, come. And I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and we went. February of 1987, we were there for her dad's birthday. We worked with them until 1992, and then he left because of illness and his health-wise. And I became the pastor of the church and stayed there until 93 when we left to go home on furlough and then came back. When we came back, I talked to Brother Tom Allred, who was also a missionary there doing Bible translation, worked into the Chamorro language. And I said, you're here. The school's here. I need to know where you'd like me to go. I've been praying about going someplace else. And he said, Tinian. We have some of our construction workers from our church go over to Tinian. They're building the high school over there. They need somebody to go over there and preach. And I start going in the fall of 1993. And I'm still there. And I'm getting ready to go back there in June. Thank the Lord. Number two, there's a price to pay. Now we go on and see what the Bible says. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who does the choosing? Thank you. I think somebody's awake. I think this side over here is kind of weak. I can't see you very good, but you're there. God does the choosing. God does the calling. And we have to answer. So I thank the Lord that we may please him who hath chosen us to be faithful soldiers. So we have to please him. That's what the whole ministry is about. Enduring hardness as a good soldier, that I may please him. Now, enduring the hardness as a good soldier, what can I say about that? The Bible just plainly means, let's see, where's my scripture verse here? 25. Oh, well, I lost my definition. I'm having a hard time seeing, period. Oh, yeah, here it is. Used of the hardships of military service. That's what endure hardness means. So, yes, it's going to be hard. Military life's hard. Just ask April's dad. Maybe some of you have been in the military for years. It's hard. But being a Christian's hard, too. He fought, I'm sure, others. I don't know, the Korean War, the World War II, Vietnam War. You have all these different soldiers who are constantly fighting against you. But for us, it's constantly the devil. The devil's constantly fighting us and trying to destroy us and try to take us down. And you see it's happening all over the place. I mean, where are all the pastors? Not only where are all the pastors, but where are all the good churches that used to be around? Where are those good, solid ministries that used to be around? Where are they at? I don't know. Was it the devil that destroyed them? Was it the world, the flesh, and the devil that came in and destroyed them? I don't know. I pray that the world, the flesh, and the devil stay out of our ministry. Because it's a small, as you see by the pictures, a small ministry anyways. So I hope the devil leaves us alone. But yes, the devil's still out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may help destroy. And the devil's still in the destroying business. So yes, we are going to endure hardness as a good soldier. So a price to pay. Now, what can I say? Number one. Well, I already gave you number one. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Number two. Now, I know all of you know what we call the four-letter vulgar words. I've got a fifth-letter vulgar word, and I know we all hate it. And it's called study. Students hate it. Members hate it. Sometimes I hate it. Study. I mean, what can I say? The Bible teaches over here in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, and yes, it takes work, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, here's some definitions for you. The word study just means to exert oneself, endeavor, give diligence. Yeah, you got to exert oneself to study. You just got to open up the Bible and study and dig. Rightly dividing the word of truth, to handle aright, teach the truth correctly and directly. That's what it means. You don't want to teach something that's wrong or false, like some of the false teachers nowadays. And by the way, that could be where a lot of people fall to, because of false teachers trying to lead you in a false direction. I mean, what can I say? The problem is we don't know the Bible. We don't know Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And yes, we don't like that fellowship of suffering, because Titus says we're going to suffer if you live godly. Yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. And we don't like that part. But we know him because of resurrection. We know him because of the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What can I say? Hardships. Hardships. Study. A price to pay. Number three, there's a price to pay for holy living. I'm not going to take the time for that because my time's almost gone. And Brother Mike said I only had 15 minutes and I'm in trouble. Just kidding. There's a person to please. If you choose to be a soldier, I've never been a soldier in the military. I went to Bible college instead. So I don't know what it means to be a private, and I don't know what it means to be a corporal, and I don't know what it means to be a sergeant, and I don't know what it means to go on up, 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 and away. But I know it takes hardness. And there's only one person you got to please, and that's your sergeant. And the sergeant's got to please the captain or lieutenant, whoever. He's got to please somebody. Everybody's got to please somebody. You've got to make sure you do your job and you do it right. We have to please the Lord. Because one day, I don't care if you've been in the military or not, forget the military. You want, yes, okay, so what, you have to stand before a general? I doubt it. You may have to stand before a sergeant. Sergeant has to stand before the lieutenant. Lieutenant has to stand before the captain. The captain has to go on and up and away. But one day we will stand before a holy God. And we will all give an account of the things we've done, whether it be good or bad. All of our works will be burned up, and only that which is of righteousness, that which is of Christ, souls being saved, that's what will endure. My wife and I made our own pulpit, and we made our own Lord's table. We made that furniture. That gets burned up. That's not going to be part of the reward system. Only those people on that picture back there are those that I'm going to be rewarded for. And I thank the Lord for every single one of them. The three up in Southington, Connecticut, thank the Lord. Reward time. And I'm not looking forward to the rewards. I'm looking forward to them serving the Lord and seeing the blessings of God upon their lives. And by the way, if you have anybody here who wants to go to Bible college, their first year of tuition is free. There's 20 boys and 20 girls. It's a small college, and it's a good college if you want to be in a small college. If you don't want to be amongst 3,000 and you're just a number amongst 3,000, then go to a college where everybody knows your name. Everybody. I love that college, and I love that church. So anyways, 2 Timothy 3:9, as well as 1 Peter, and I'm just going to read to you 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Or in other words, your conduct, your behavior. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I don't know about you, but I'm a son, but I'm also a bride. When Christ returns, he's coming for his bride. When Christ returns, he's coming for a faithful bride. A bride who has dedicated herself for him. And has not been playing around with other idols or other boys, if you know what I mean. I mean, we are the bride of Christ. When Christ comes for us, he's coming for us. And I love the fact he's coming. I mean, if you have to, go back over to Acts chapter 1, see who's coming. Is it Gabriel? No. Is it Michael? No. Christ himself is coming for his bride. He's not sending anybody for her. He's coming himself for us. And I thank the Lord for that. So there's a person to please. We ought to endure hardness as a soldier. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So what can I say? We need to be holy. I'm not even going to take the time to read 2 Peter 3, 9 through 14. So thank the Lord. Now lastly, let's see. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Just plainly means nurture, means to train and educate by chastening. Admonition means encouragement as well as exhortation. And so that's what we as fathers ought to be doing, training up our kids in the way they should go. Just like Timothy, who had grandmother Lois and mother Eunice in chapter 1, verse 5, who taught their son Timothy about Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. I'm sure Timothy had to learn, as far as spelling words from the Old Testament. I don't know. But we parents ought to be teaching our kids so our kids will grow up and want to serve the Lord. Bottom line, and I'm finished. We need soldiers for the Lord. We need those who not entangle themselves with the affairs of this life, in other words, worldliness, but that we may please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier. A soldier who will serve others. A soldier who will try to teach others. A soldier who would go out and try to reach other soldiers for Christ. And then the two soldiers go out and try to reach somebody else for Christ. A soldier serving his commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for these who've come to hear. I pray, Father, that you would bless the rest of the service. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to use each and every one of us in your ministry as faithful soldiers serving the Lord. Pray that you bless and have your hand upon us this evening, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.